Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. Thank you for joining me for this week's episode of the Midweek Roundup. I'm your host, Marty Bennett, and today's an auspicious day for SMIE Consulting. We're celebrating the 100th episode of our Midweek Roundup, which we started a little over 2 years ago to help better connect SMIE Consulting with you in the international ed community, sharing our thoughts and hearing your contributions on the topics of the day. And today is going to be no different. It's a real pleasure to be with you today. And for those of you who have been faithful watchers on Facebook Live, and those who watch on repeat on YouTube or Facebook, and especially a shout out to those who are making the Roundup a part of your weekly podcast listening. We really appreciate your willingness to take in what we have each week and encourage you to continue in the journey with us. It's been a real honor and privilege being with you each week as we cover the topics of the day. And for those who are new to the Roundup, this is our Wednesday live event on 1 p.m. Eastern Time, where we get together for about a half an hour and discuss the three questions that come up regularly in conversation each week. This week, we're going to cover, obviously, COVID-19-related topics and the impact it's having on our industry, the long-reaching and far-reaching impact on our industry. Before we get into that, as those that are new to the Roundup might not know, we also produce a newsletter each Monday called All the SMIE News Fit to Share, and SMIE stands for Social Media and International Education. That's what we cover with our business. And we share our newsletter on Monday mornings at about 9 a.m. Eastern. Comes to your inbox free of charge. So I encourage you to sign up. We'll drop the link of this week's edition into the comment section on the Facebook page now. But we'll also be happy to have you go direct to our website, smieconsulting.org/subscribe, and you can find a link to the subscription page as well as all past editions of our newsletter, so from the last almost 2 years itself. So want to make this time as productive for you as possible, and we'll get to the three questions of the day. First up is COVID-19 exacerbating an already tough application year? And for many of you, this may not be a complete shock, but international ed has been seeing a bit of particularly on inbound international students, a bit of a decline over the last 3 years, as reported in Open Doors. The numbers of new internationals up to the 2018-19 academic year had seen a decline, although a slowing decline up until 2018-19. What last year's fall class is, the snapshot survey we saw last November from Open Doors and IIE shared that that information that was also continuing a downward trend in new international students. We also got just recently, in the last week or so, IIE released its own third post COVID-19 snapshot survey that assessed and asked international admissions offices around the country in the United States on their applications for this current admissions cycle for the academic year about to begin either later this month or early next for most U.S. colleges. And the results of that survey were a little unsurprising, frankly, that half of higher education institutions saw a drop in applications. 18% saw a substantial decline. And the timing on this, obviously, for most U.S. colleges when COVID was really hitting was about the time for when decisions were about to go out or decisions were being made in many colleges that had January 1st or February 1st deadlines. In February, March, these decisions were being made and then sent out for those who were on rolling admissions that were waiting until later in the year. Probably those are the colleges that have rolling admissions or saw more of their applicants come in the spring. Normally, those are the ones that probably saw more of a substantial decline. So the institutions, just to kind of get a sense of the IIE survey, they do tend to get a fairly large response because of the nature of their their work and as one of the most respected international education organizations, they do get some obviously substantial feedback from a wide range of institutions. And there were 520 higher ed institutions surveyed, representing more than half of the total international students that are currently enrolled in the United States. There were, I think, 34% saw a slight decline or some decline in applications, and only a quarter indicated their applications were about the same. So 18% saw a substantial decline, 18% saw a slight decline, 16% saw some decline in applications. So this is really all, again, post impact of the pandemic, and this is really no surprise really that we're seeing a decline in applications overall, and that what I think is the reality of the survey results is that the impact has been far-reaching for the fall, but also the spring semester that's just completed. That's the impact on new students that were able to enroll certainly is significant. And with the coming regulations, applications don't mean a thing if borders aren't open and students can't get visas to enter. And that's the reality that almost all U.S. colleges are facing this fall, particularly those that have made the decision to go fully online. Some colleges, even today, in the last 24 hours, have made that decision to reverse course from a hybrid or in-person to go fully online. Georgetown University just announced that. And how that's going to impact their international students that were in the pipeline, either applying for visas and ready to enter the United States or had already made those plans, might be in the airports on their way here now. What does that mean for those students? So the situation and the unpredictability of what the pandemic is going to look like in terms of its overall impact, it's far worse than anyone could have imagined. And so there is only one answer to the question, really, whether COVID-19 is exacerbating a tough application year, and it's absolutely yes. But the realities are how institutions have responded to these concerns are the unknowns of the impact of COVID-19 on our students, prospective students, and current students. So the IIE survey is obviously focusing on international applicants. We've seen other domestic surveys of students that are and universities that are showing some of the state and public and state flagship and even some state regional institutions have seen increases in their applications and deposits for this fall. So that's kind of showing what we've talked about here on the roundup before of those students that are looking, because of the pandemic, students and their parents are looking at options closer to home because parents want to keep their kids close. And I certainly get that as a parent, and there's obviously impacts on families around the world as to what they're doing with their students for their educational options this fall. So closer to home applies internationally as well, and there's other surveys we covered in our newsletter this week that show that other countries are benefiting from the decline of interest in the United States as a result of COVID-19 and our mishandling in the United States of the pandemic, and how the country seems set and ready to go back into lockdown. So these are things that we're struggling with here, but it's impacting parents and students abroad that are changing where their destinations might be. They still want to pursue their ultimate educational goal, but the realities on the ground are preventing them from doing that. So they're looking for the option that's going to give them the best opportunity for and fastest opportunity for in-person education as quickly as possible. And if that means quarantining, the surveys, and I talked about that last week with a recent IDP Connect survey, show that, and others do as well, that there is interest in still continuing to pursue their initial goals, but if that's not possible, they're going to look for the fastest route to an in-person education as they can, because that's really what has always drawn international students to study outside their home countries, the opportunity to experience other cultures, experience students from other nations and in their system, in different systems, educational systems, and different cultures. And that's a piece of the puzzle that will always drive students abroad. But it is going to, the current pandemic is changing destinations, and that's certainly not something that should have been, should be considered a surprise, because the realities are students need options now, and they want to pursue those as quickly as possible. And if countries can offer them smoother pathways that not have any challenges in terms of what is possible and what isn't possible, and having that change mid-course or in the midst of their journey to their destination country. That's what we're facing in the United States right now. And that's going to be our next topic. And the next topic for our roundup today is what the impact of ICE, and I would say more broadly DHS, because it'll also include Customs and Border Patrol. And we're already hearing stories from incoming students on the hassle that they're getting at the border related to their course of study. So we're going to talk about that too. But moving on to the second question, in the United States, we've talked at length over the previous 2 years on the impact of current administration's policies in terms of weakening our image abroad as a friendly destination for international students, as a country, government level policy and decisions, the travel bans and attempts to erode the edges of what we do in international education. We've talked about that at length here on the roundup. But with regards to DHS and ICE specifically, the enforcement of policies related to for new students versus continuing students, those have been, there's a lot of back and forth in the press, and what students hear and what if they're hearing an old story or the most current story. On what's happening with policy, U.S. policy. It's hard to keep track sometimes, even as a professional in the field. It's like looking at articles, is that new or is that, obviously looking at dates, but looking at their take on it and how it's being viewed abroad, there's a lot of confusion out there. And frankly, decisions that have been made to allow continuing students to maintain hybrid or online classes instead of the normal limit of one online class per term that is in the existing immigration regulations that was amended superseded by the rules implemented in March in the midst of the pandemic, which we've complimented DHS for making those decisions to ease the burden on students, current students, international students, to allow them to continue and maintain their status even out of the country as long as they're making satisfactory progress towards their degree doing all online classes. That's been great, but the confusion on continuing students that existed earlier in July when DHS put out this ruling to limit it to only hybrid and in-person, not online, that when that was reversed quickly in a week, which was amazing that it happened, I'm glad that it happened, but unnecessarily added grief and confusion to the mix. So our field is with travel bans and all the other associated issues that the current administration's policies have had on our field, on our reputation abroad, has been cumulative and is certainly ones that are not easily overcome. And there are still students who want to be here this fall, and they're doing everything in their power to get here and jumping through hoops that we wouldn't even imagined would have been imposed months ago. But their desire to study here is just something that you have to hold in your heart and go, wow, this is why I do what I do, because of students like that, and realizing how difficult a journey it is for them. That's something that most administrators at our colleges and universities don't grasp unless they've been in it and unless they've experienced it, or unless you've had this conversation regularly with them on the journeys that your new incoming international students are facing every year. But what's when you hear stories, and this has been a regular occurrence every in the start of every semester when we hear news stories. See Karen Fisher out on Twitter asking for international students who have just gone through immigration to tell her their stories about being turned away or going into secondary and having extensive questions asked. In the past year, it's been about social media posts and access to social media accounts that have been part of the new vetting process that DHS has for new students when they enter the country, any new visitor to the country, or any visitor to the country. They ask these questions now. But it's also now been replaced by ICE agents, or not ICE agents at the border, but CBP agents at the border that aren't familiar with the new policies or haven't had that briefing yet or have ignored that briefing and are that allows returning students to take hybrid classes, students and online classes. And then for new students coming in, if their institution has been is in transition between an in-person and an online, or may still be shifting, or there's been news stories out about certain institutions, like I was explaining earlier with Georgetown, just happened, yes, in the last 24 hours. What is happening to their students when they come to the border? If they say the wrong thing, though, our classes are all online now. If that's the actual fact, that student is going to be turned back at the border. We don't know what exactly Georgetown has been prepping their students with, or if they were already telling their new internationals that had already were going through the visa process, don't bother now, wait until January or the next available term so that we can get you here in person without the problems that you're currently going through or expected to go through. So it's a little disingenuous in terms of what's happening with the way institutions are responding. They obviously have a myriad of concerns and constituent groups that they have to be responsible to, not least of which is the health and safety of everybody who works there and is attending as students there. And there are financial concerns that push institutions one way or another, whether to be more in person or hybrid or online. And that's something that those pressures we don't necessarily all are able to wrap our heads around how those decisions are made at individual campuses. You obviously, if you're on campus now, you have a fairly good idea what the decision-making process has been for your institution. And you're probably still figuring out how that's gonna impact what you do for orientation for those that can make it in, if you are in person or hybrid. But my question is, how far down on the priority scale have new international students and international students in general become on your college campus? Because I look at stories like we saw, we touched on last week about how ICE's new ruling does allow new international students to take hybrid programs where it's part online, part in person, but can't do fully online programs. That came out and that was confirmed that's the case. But there are more institutions now, and one of which, Johns Hopkins, is now telling their students, new international students, because they're in a hybrid situation at Johns Hopkins, they're telling new international students, no, don't come. You're going to have to wait. Do your classes online this fall and then come in the spring or whenever situation is resolved to the point where they can enter without concerns. So it's a real challenge. And why a school like Johns Hopkins, that does have a very substantial international population, because they're going on fully online after Thanksgiving break. And that's a reality that Johns Hopkins is using. Because they're going online after Thanksgiving, that means that new international students shouldn't come. Well, if they're coming in initially for an in-person and hybrid experience, that legally will establish their status, their F1 status. That will make them in legal F1 status, and that will allow them, once that's established, to fall under the guidance of currently enrolled students when it comes to online education. And that switch after Thanksgiving should have been viewed by the administration there as a pathway to allow those new international students to come in. That's not the case. So I'm very concerned that other institutions, and which and Johns Hopkins is a very savvy, international savvy organization, and has incredible relationships with institutions around the world and great international education programs there. But why, unless it was, and but it's not stated anywhere in this Johns Hopkins article, newsletter article, that that it's a, if it's a health and safety thing, I get it, and that certainly makes the most sense for an urban campus where there are other issues involved there. I certainly get that if that's the reason why you're telling, much like Harvard and USC, even though they had to because they're going fully online right away. What is happening there? With a campus that is telling their new international students don't come, even though you're legally able to come in the fall because we're going fully online after the break, which is a reality that other colleges have already committed to that are saying new students come on in. So I'm really concerned about what the messages are. Very mixed messages we're seeing from institution to institution as they respond to these kinds of issues. So as we're talking about the impact of ICE and DHS on what we do, this is certainly going to be one of the most significant ones that we're going to see play out over the next 6 weeks as more colleges begin their fall terms. So we'll see where this goes, and we'll certainly be covering that as there are developments on this story. But I want to close today with an article that I wrote for IDP Connect this week, What Are the Reopening Realities You're Facing? And in it, and we cover a couple other aspects of this, we look at how your institution has responded to what's out there. And we had mentioned previously, back in March and April, when the scenario was playing out that doesn't look like there are going to be many new internationals even able to come to the country, if that's even allowed, because visas, consulates and embassies aren't open in the primary sending countries to the United States. We kind of saw that writing on the wall here on the Roundup a long time ago. The folks at INTED certainly have were proposing a solution back in May. They've worked with CIEE to establish turnkey global campuses. They have 30 campuses around the world that they've used primarily for study abroad students that they had managed that were not being used this fall as a result of the pandemic, but were now offered to institutions to use as destinations, initial destinations for their new international students in China and other countries in particular, to be an opportunity to still keep hold of those new students and keep their interests, get them started toward their degree, and then eventually transition them here rather than taking a gap year or taking a fully online program. So this is giving a cohort of students at over 8 institutions have taken CIE up on and INTED up on this offer. Tulane, Rutgers, Mass College of Pharmacy and Health Sciences, Penn State, Clark University are really doing the kinds of things that make the most sense long term for their brand and the bond between the student and institution. And that's I give a lot of credit, and that you really need to be a fairly nimble institution to be able to take that initiative and redirect new students to a physical facility that you've never seen before necessarily, unless you already have an existing relationship with CIE or where they're one of their campuses. What I talk about in my article for IDP Connect on I focus on the communication with international students is what matters most at this point, because of the writing that has been on the wall for several months that it was not going to be a normal fall, that new students were told, international students were told, that many institutions were still figuring out what we're doing on campus, rather than looking at the tea leaves and saying, okay, it's not very likely that you're going to be able to get here, so what are the options that we'd like to lay out for you? So if it was an online semester, if it was a deferment to the spring, if it was a gap year, whatever the option might have been, or as the CIE offices around the world have been able to offer, kind of an initial starting point for cohorts of students from your college. Now, how you reopen is obviously all over the board. I mean, this is something that is not exclusive to U.S. colleges and universities. I have a group of U.S. Colleges that were originally planning to do a physical recruitment tour to a group of schools in Asia and Europe this fall, this September. We had to transition to a virtual option to actually connect with students at those schools. And in the process of going through this exercise with them, we had a training session yesterday and starting to hear back from the counselors at the schools we're going to visit. I asked them, hey, what are your reopening plans? And they're all over the board, too. These are international schools in Singapore, Thailand, Hong Kong, China, Japan, India, seven in Europe, all over the European continent, Costa Rica, Canada, and a couple in Africa that have very different plans. Some are going to be able to meet fully in person because their students actually in the spring were told don't leave, because if you leave, you're probably not going to be able to get back in. So kind of what happened in the U.S. for currently enrolled international students. In Singapore, they're going to be starting their school year fully in person. In other countries where students had left, they're not able to get back in the country yet, only half of them there. When they get back in, they're going to be in quarantine for a couple of weeks like they will in Wales at UWC Atlantic, that secondary school. There's real issues here, so it's not just a U.S. focused issue. We're not the only ones dealing with how we reopen, but the successful institutions that are meeting this challenge who have been upfront with their new students and have clearly laid out the path for what's to come. It's really important for everybody to really see what the options are. And there's a couple of different models that we've seen in terms of U.S. Institutions in terms of how they've been communicating this. The Chronicle of Higher Ed has done a great job over the last 3 months of weekly updates, daily updates sometimes to their graph of U.S. colleges and their plans for the fall. At one point in June, it was 65% were planning for in-person, 6% were still waiting to decide, only 8% were planning for online, 12% were planning hybrid. So the numbers have changed dramatically in the last month. That Chronicle model has now shifted to a much more segmented model that they're offering, or they're working with Davidson College in North Carolina on this. That breaks it down into 14 different categories rather than five or six. And the primarily in-person numbers are down to just 21%. In fact, the largest group is still TBD of the various options. We have primarily online 24% now, and that was tracking higher than what the previous model was that the Chronicle was using, hybrids at about 16%. So there's a lot of really diverse opinions in terms of how colleges are reopening and how you're communicating to that, your prospective students, to your admitted students. As I mentioned earlier in a previous comment on student desires and destinations, they still want to come. They still want to come as planned, and that number's actually gone up since an earlier survey in April from IDP Connect. And the ones that have decided to change their plans are changing them because of that closer to home mentality that we were talking about. So the real challenge is how you've communicated your institution's policies and how they fit in the larger scope of U.S. immigration policy at this point, and how open those lines of communication have been. If you've just told them back in April and May, hold on a minute, we don't know what we're doing, and every month or week you've given them an update, we don't know what we're doing yet, it's just sowing the seeds of confusion and opens the door to more of your students finding those other options. And the realities are that there aren't going to be many options for them to enter if you're going fully online. There aren't any right now. So what does fully online look like for a new international student? And if you had those plans laid out back in March and April or at least starting to think about that, what that would look like, you'd be in a much better situation now if that was your initial push to those international students, or finding that alternative destination where they could start at a partner institution overseas, maybe not one of the CIAE ones, but looking at one of your organizational partners that you work with that could host your students, new students, at least temporarily. So there's a lot of challenging times ahead, as we all are fully aware, but the more flexible your institution is, the more open you are to alternatives and suggestions, the better prepared I think your institution will be for the coming challenges. And there will be more challenges ahead, there's no doubt about that. And we'll be certainly keeping you up to date with those and our takes on them here on the Roundup. But we're grateful that you've spent your time with us today. And really look forward to continuing this conversation in the days, weeks, and months to come. So thanks again for being a part of our 100th episode, and we look forward to connecting with you over the next 100 or more. Cheers.